Hey, everybody, it's Rick. I want to say welcome to the Nomad Pastor. Thank you for listening. I think this is going to be episode 5. Last week, we started talking about Philippians, and so I just want to continue that a little bit. This time, we're going to go through Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 20, and we'll go through this ride together. You know, in our lives, we all face bad times and we all face good times. You know, a bad time could be as simple as, you know, you cut your finger, or it could be as bad as you go through a divorce or you lose your job. Maybe you are homeless, or even, you know, being in jail. You know, these can be terrible things and terrible times for people, and they can cause great problems in our daily lives. It can actually cause us to ask, why God are you doing this to me? And so I want to challenge you that instead of asking why God, that you see this as an opportunity. You see the opportunity within the bad situations. You know, the Apostle Paul had he had desired to go to Rome. He wanted to go to Rome to preach the gospel for a long time. In fact, in his letter to the Romans, he says how he longs to be with them, right? In Romans 1:11, he says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. You know, eventually Paul got to go to Rome, but he also went through some very hard times while he was there. And so what I want to do before I continue is I'm going to read Philippians 1, 12 through 20, and then we'll come back and kind of talk through it. So we'll start with verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provisions of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. You see, Paul, at this time when he's writing this letter, he's under house arrest in Rome. And even though he's free to write letters and have visitors and preach in his rented house, he's also under constant guard and chained to whoever was the Roman soldier on duty. You know, anyone who's been in jail knows that that first you're upset, you're afraid, you feel alone, and I'm sure there's a ton of other emotions that you're going to have at some point. But we realize there's nothing we can do but try and make our friends and family feel better about the situation. We want them to think we're going to be okay. We don't want them to worry about what's happening to us on the inside, what's happening to us in prison or in jail. And Paul was no different than any of us. In his letter to the Philippians, he's trying to set their minds at ease about the situation in Rome and show them how to make something good out of something bad. And in verses 12 through 14, Paul is telling them that him being in prison has actually allowed him to advance the gospel. That throughout the whole palace guard, the gospel has become clear. That's what he says. Remember that Paul is constantly chained to whoever the soldier was for the day. And we know from the book of Acts that Paul was in his rented house for 2 years preaching the gospel to anyone who would visit him. So if you think about how many different soldiers had to sit there and listen to Paul preach for 2 years, how many times did they each hear the message repeated by Paul when a new visitor arrived at the door? And when Paul says in verse 13, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. He's saying that these soldiers, for the last 2 years that have been chained to him, have heard the word and believe in Christ. And as a result, they tell everyone else without being afraid. Now, let's make sure we understand the magnitude of this, right? We've got to know what's happening. In Rome, the palace guard, it's not a small thing, right? Some translations use the term imperial guard or praetorian guard. From the research that I've done, that guard could have been as many as 10,000 soldiers in total. So even imprisoned, under house arrest, Paul has turned something very bad into something good, and he has expanded the kingdom and the gospel to 10,000 soldiers. Paul shows us the method he used to get the good out of something bad. And he rejoiced that the gospel was preached. And in verses 15 through 18, Paul explains that some will preach Christ for the wrong reasons. And some for the right. And when they do preach it for the wrong reasons, they're doing it for selfish ambitions. But when they honestly preach, they do it out of love because they know he was put in chains to defend the gospel. Except Paul tells us that it doesn't matter why they do it. It matters that they do it. In verse 18, he says, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. You see, Paul being imprisoned became an opportunity to be a witness for Christ. Have you considered ever how your situation can be used as an opportunity? Regardless of our situation, we can be a witness. How we act and how we think when no one is watching is important. I mean, just look at social media today, right? If you look at your social media account, if you look at your Facebook account, what are you telling other people? By what you post, are you showing them Christ? Or are you showing them hate? You know, I heard a story once, and I really wish I could remember who I heard it from to give credit to it, or maybe I read it somewhere, but I don't remember, and I apologize for that. But it was a story about a missionary couple that had gone to India. And they went there to share the gospel, right? They were missionaries. But after being there, the husband got really sick, and he was just suffering. And if you've had a sick spouse, you know that their suffering, that's your suffering. And in this instance, it was no different. His wife started to get depressed that they had went all the way around the world, and now here they are, and her husband's sick, and there's just really no relief in sight. They don't understand what to do next. And she just asked him, like, you know, why is this happening to us? Because she couldn't understand why God had sent them so far away from home and allowed him to get sick instead of keeping him safe and healthy so that he could spread the gospel. And her husband's reply to her questions was pretty simple. He said, maybe God wanted these people to see how Christians handle suffering, and that would help spread the gospel. See, that's pretty deep to me, right? That in all of his pain and in all of his suffering, he said, maybe this is what it's supposed to be like. So now, we've seen the method in verses 15 to 18. And now in verse 19, Paul shows us the two ways that we can get something good out of something bad. And in verse 19, he says, "For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance." So I said he gives you two ways, right? The first one is prayer from other Christians. And Paul's friends prayed for him. I know that when I'm going to go through something, I have to ask for prayer. And I am horrible at this. I try to figure out for myself what I can do. And I'll pray for myself, but I am not great at reaching out to other people and asking for prayer. And I have to do a better job of that. But I think we're all bad at that. And I don't know if it's that we're ashamed or that we're afraid to admit, you know, that we're not strong. I know for me, I want everybody to know that I've got it covered, that I'm in control, that I'm a strong man. But I'm robbing myself of a blessing by asking them to pray for me, but I'm also robbing them of a blessing from them being able to help me. You know, when my brothers in the BFC are going through something, they ask for prayer. And we pray. And I need to do the same thing, and so do you. If you're not asking for prayer in your time of need, I'm challenging you to do it. All right. The second way in verse 19 is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the greatest resources we have as Christians, and it's one of the resources that we have to accomplish anything. We can accomplish anything with the power of the Holy Spirit when it's at work in our lives, when we allow the Spirit to work in our lives, when we don't walk away from it. And that goes back to directly what I said. Many times I have felt the Spirit say, reach out to this person or ask for help. And I've walked away from it. And those times that I walk away from it, it doesn't turn out good. It turns out bad. I'm not using the power of the Holy Spirit to turn bad things into good. So far, we've seen the method. And the two ways that Paul shows us to get the good things out of the bad situations, but we also need to see the motive, right? What was the motive for it? And in verse 20, Paul says, "For since the creation of God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." So for Paul, the one thing he wanted, the one thing he desired, more than anything, was that Christ was magnified. I've seen people come to Christ by witnessing a devoted Christian life. And I've seen people walk away by witnessing a hypocritical Christian life. Look, you don't have to stand up and preach. You don't have to do a podcast like this. You don't have to go beat people up with a Bible. Your life is a witness that many people need to see. Your life is what people need to see and how they will see the love of Christ. You really need to think about that when you're posting stuff on social media. Don't post hate. Post love. To sum it up, everything good can come out of bad situations. When we look at Paul and his imprisonment, we know that good came out of it. I personally am a living example that good can come out of bad. So here's the one question that I have that I want you to think about and that I want you to pray about. And if you need to ask for prayer, do that. But my question to you is, how will you work in your life to make good things come out of a bad situation? Look, I know you have a lot of different podcasts you can listen to, and there's tons of opportunity out there. I know this is new and we're taking this journey together, but I appreciate you listening. If you like it, subscribe to whatever your podcast platform of choice is. And if you have a question or you just want to talk or you want me to pray for you, send me an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. Again, thank you for your time, and I just wish you many blessings.